D2, number 15B.
So, the same is with spirit. We begin to see in the second day that it isn't the day of spirit. It's again the day of life, truth, and love as one. Life, truth, and love saying as spirit, now let there be a firmament, then there was made the firmament, became factual. It was not only let there be, but it made it factual, and called the firmament heaven, completed it, named it and completed it. So, in each day, which you know, I don't have to go through them, we get the sense, actually we don't have to rise up the scale of being. We are pushed up the scale of being. Life, truth, and love pushes us up the scale of being. We are made to advance. We have no chance not to advance. We can resist it, then we just chemicalize, that's all there is. But life, truth, and love will just the same say, I push you onward. I push your vision further and further and wider and higher and broader and more dynamic. And that is, I think, the value of looking at these days of creation from the point of view of life, truth, and love. You know that at that point he was showing those days of creation in conjunction with Matthew, with the whole Gospel of Matthew. Because those four Gospels, as we know, have the first one, the touch of the Word in the Word order, the second, Mark in the Christ order, then Luke, Christianity, and St. John in the science order. But he showed them that those four orders were impelled by the level of absolute Christian science. Therefore, that those four Gospels are not showing Jesus' life work, but are showing life, truth, and love at work, and taking Jesus as a representative of life, truth, and love. But it's showing, really, again, the old structure in being. The same old big structure that being is from the point of view of the Word, the one life, and that one life has infinite possibilities of expressing itself as life, truth, and love. And one of these possibilities of expressing itself as life, truth, and love was the Word order through Matthew as Jesus' life. But it was only one expression. And that is, I think, important to see. So, if we take the Gospel of Matthew, as you have studied them, forward and backward, and I don't have to explain Matthew, most of you know it better than I do. Actually, as textual Matthew, we know that Matthew is built up through the order of first showing mind, and then spirit, and then soul, and then principle, and then life, and truth, and love, and fulfilling Jesus' life story that way. Viewing it from life, truth, and love, Mr. Dawley showed that life, truth, and love was the impelling power of mind. Therefore, he showed in mind through Matthew that life impelled mind by saying, let there be a creative sense all through the ages, mind, the all creator, which brings out always something new. So we have life as mind, the creator, the propelling, the creative sense, bringing out always something new. What sort of new? Because life, truth, and love, truth says, and this what I bring out is a new form of that creative sense. It brought forth in the story of Matthew, Jesus, the birth of Jesus. That was the new form of the idea running down the centuries or coming up the centuries, and brought forth the true form, the new form of this idea symbolized as Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And love said to that new idea being created and being brought forth as the new form of Jesus, I protect that. I'm love, I protect that new idea. And so Jesus' birth and youth was protected. You have that story in Egypt and so on, and from Herod and everything. So what he was showing there with the symbolization, illustration of a Jesus story was nothing else than that life, truth and love say constantly, I am mind. I am the propelling creative idea. I bring forth as life always a new idea. That new idea has a new form, truth. And that new form is complete in itself. Nothing can touch it. Love. That's the structure behind it, symbolized as Jesus. Or he shows then in the second tone of spirit, those three baptisms. Well, it's baptism. We are not going to be baptized anymore. So baptism is anyway going out. The new theologians actually find out after years and hundreds of years. That's one of the last book of Karl Barth, that he said, we have no scriptural authority to baptize children or anybody. Well, whereas baptism was one of the biggest things for the churches. Now they come and say, we have no scriptural authority. Well, here, it isn't showing really those three baptisms. It's really showing through symbols that life, truth and love impel spirit always. At that time symbolized in the way that life said to spirit, now let there be baptism, let there be purification. We had the baptism of purification and repentance. Then truth said to spirit, well, I am baptizing you with spirit. That's the fact of it. I give you the true fact of true baptism, it's spirit. And that baptism as love is baptizing man as the Blessed One of God. And call Jesus as, this is my beloved Son, the Blessed Son. So we see that that which is going on in being can be symbolized in spirit, but it mustn't through baptism. Here it is symbolized through baptism as life impelling the baptism of John the Baptist, then giving the true form of baptism as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which then gives a round and universal sense of blessedness, the baptism of Spirit. We have afterwards in the story of Jesus the tone of soul, starting with the temptations and so on. The story is that life, truth and love by itself, quite universally, said, I am soul. But at the very moment of Jesus, adapted to Jesus' life at that point, it was showing the point that life says a soul, I identify myself always as the provision of ideas. Soul is identity. Life says, I identify myself as provision of ideas. Truth says, but through that provision of ideas, I translate everything which is not right into idea. And the angels ministered unto him, no more the devil. And love says to that identity, says, now I give to that identity infinite scope, infinite mission. And Jesus went out and preached, and all nations gathered to him and came to him to listen to him. That was his identity fulfilled. But it was, you don't mind me stressing, that was his. Because afterwards I want to show the higher sense of this whole story. Or we take principle, after that we know that Jesus went out healing, teaching, preaching, and teached the Sermon on the Mount, that whole sense of principle giving the structure of his teaching. But that was again not just principle interpreting itself, because principle always interprets itself, but it needed life, truth and love to interpret that to Jesus and to the disciples of Jesus at that very moment and for that very occasion and for that very understanding there specifically. So at that point we begin to see that the general sense of life, truth and love, which is all the time, all through the thousands of years, at that very time said, life, truth and love, I interpret myself as the infinite principle. How? As life, it says, I interpret that principle by demonstrating it as ideas. We had those few healings there. Then, as truth, it said, I interpret now that principle as the factual system by translating everything old into a new sense of the Christ, of truth. And therefore, Jesus taught how the law was translated into the new sense of the truth of the Christ. Therefore, it gives us a sense, oh yes, that's what's happening all over the world at every time, at every moment, that life, truth and love interprets itself through its principle always first by giving it a new line, then by transforming. Truth transforms and overforms that teaching to an ever higher sense of system and of presentation of the truth, and finally shows us love, that this system, this interpretation will really be the rock on which we can build a science of Christianity. That's what happened. Then we have in the Bible a complete break after the Sermon on the Mount, and we have at once a tremendous power explosion, a healing explosion. Jesus starts right out, heals this and that with authority, and we have a great sense of healing taking place. Life. The tone of life, the day of life. But here again, presented really from the standpoint of life, truth and love. It was that healing which said, life, I, life, truth and love, life, bring forth abundant healing. Life as life. I bring forth abundant healing and redemption. It wasn't Jesus that brought forth abundant healings. It was life, God. And Jesus couldn't help doing what life told him to do, and therefore brought forth abundant healing. Truth in absolute Christian Science told to Jesus that this brings a higher style of life, a new form of life. And we have those many examples where he shows that he called Matthew to a new style of life. He took the publicans and showed them the new style of life. He showed everybody a higher style and form of life. That's truth. Truth in absolute Christian Science impelling life to give up, to bring forth a higher style of living. And love in absolute Christian Science said to life, and you see, I give infinite multiplication. You can do that all over the place. And we get there, that infinite multiplication. He gathered 12 disciples. He sent them forth. It was the seven parables for feeding of the 5,000 and so on. A tremendous sense that life itself used Jesus to bring out the abundance and fulfillment of life. Then it is as if the tone would change, the melody would change in the Bible, and the day of truth, the portion of truth starts in, which formerly we had as the day of truth, but the day of truth is now super formed, being the day of life, truth and love, using truth to bring out life, truth and love. And here we have that presentation of the true sense of manhood coming out for 6 days. The true sense of manhood as what? As a calculus of idea. And so the very first illustrations and so on were all about that life, truth and love, were impelling truth as life to bring out the sense that man is not a mortal, but a calculus of idea. To bring forth. Life is always that which brings forth, so to say, has the divine urge to bring forth and said, let there be instead of a lot of mortals and the mortal thinking and animal qualities and so on, let there be instead of it that which we call the compound idea, a calculus of idea. And truth in absolute Christian Science said to that, and that calculus of idea will have dominion over the calculus of mortality which men are thinking. Man, really, we know, is calculating from morning to night and all his life. He's calculating. He says, what shall I do and how do I get something more and how shall I do that I get round this and round that? He's an infinite calculator with mortal qualities and mortal concepts. So really, even the mortal is a calculus of mortal thought. And here he showed in truth that truth comes along and says, the calculus of ideas has dominion over the calculus of mortality, and therefore it can transmutate you into a new form. We have there the transfiguration. We have there the foretelling of Jesus of his transfiguration through the resurrection. All that which shows, you know, this new calculus of idea will do something to your old mortal body. It will do something to your human calculations and shows forth that there will be an tremendous overforming of what is called man. And then in love, the impulsion of life, truth and love, as love said to that calculus of ideas, said, now that abolishes finally and completely the old concept of human calculating. It fulfills it. So in this sixth dawn, we have manhood represented as a false calculus and as the right calculus. But how on earth is that false calculus be replaced by the right calculus? Who does that? Jesus hasn't done it. Jesus hasn't done it. He couldn't. He couldn't do it just as we couldn't do it. But life, truth and love did it. Life, truth and love did it, and Jesus said, oh yes, let it be. Let it happen. I don't resist it. I let it happen. So that life, truth and love were saying, I bring forth a new calculus, the calculus of ideas called man. Truth says to that, that calculus of ideas of man has dominion over the calculus of mortality. And love says, and that calculus of ideas will abolish completely the false sense that there could be another calculus, a calculus of mortality. And then we have really the last tone of love, which starts with those last days of Jesus' life, with the trial, with the resurrection, and so on. We see there what we call to be the day of love, to be really the day of life, truth and love, taking care of the sum total of human misery, so to say. All that happened in that trial and crucifixion, then with the resurrection, and then the glorification, teaching all nations, and so on. Well, it just showed that Jesus himself was struggling, shall I lay down the mortal? Can I do it? Will I do it? Will I be able to do it? Humanly he struggled, but divinely he couldn't do anything else but to let life lay down his life. He couldn't help but truth saying to him, all right, truth is omnipotent in truth and in error. You don't have to fear the whole trial. Pilate can't crucify you except it is sent from God. So what Pilate did was sent from God. He wasn't a bad man. He just couldn't help doing what was in the divine plan. And love said to that whole situation, that love taking care of the whole situation, that will be not only your salvation, Jesus, that will be the salvation for the whole world. Can we see that that last big tone of love, of that resolving of the sum total of human misery, of hate, jealousy, envy, and so on, littleness, pettiness, and so on, that resolving into a universal blessing, that's love, that was impelled not by Jesus, because Jesus had set up his mind and said, now I'm going to do it. He wasn't that vain. He was so meek. Can I do it? He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, it's your work. You arrange that whole thing. I can't do a thing to it. You arrange everything with Herod and with Pilate and with the crucifixion, everything. You arrange it. What can I do? I can't resist it. I just better give up and let it happen. So love. Life, truth, and love said to that thing, that's all right, that's all right. Life says, I make you lay down your mortal concept, that you want to do something which you shouldn't do. I am truth. I make you be powerful in every situation, in the situation of truth, and in the situation before Pilate in error. You have dominion there. And that is all for the sake of love, for the universal enlightenment and salvation. So, can we see... 5 minutes. All right. Always when I come to the most important thing, time runs out. Now, this point. We have seen that life, truth and love is really the day of mind, the day of spirit, the day of soul, and so on. And through Matthew we have seen that this can be symbolized in a man's life, in a man's mission, like Jesus. But that is only one illustration of that whole cybernetic possibility there is. Because if we look above absolute Christian science to the world, because it's all the presentation of the world, we come to the one life. And that one life says, I am life, truth and love to every situation, at any time, under all circumstances, because there is not just life, truth and love impelling a situation, but above that is the one life, and therefore showing that that is applicable to every situation, all through the ages, through all circumstances. I can lift that whole Matthew's story out of itself. And once I have seen that this chart is true and that it has been exemplified in the Bible and therefore verified by the Bible as authority that this is so, I can lift it right out of the biblical symbols and says, anyway, I'm not going to be a Jesus anymore because nothing repeats itself. God will do with me something very different, will do with any situation something very different. So I'm not going anymore back to that one and only symbolization as the only illustration of this vertical. And so I lift it right out and say, well, then that story is true for every generation, for every generation of idea. And we have always to give birth to a new idea. You see how I still am in the old slang. I give birth to an idea. I can't. I just can't. But the slang is. So every time I sit back in the evening and say, now what's going on in the universe? Well, what's going on in the universe is not that I have to see how the vertical of the world has been expressing itself in the days of creation, nor really in Matthew, but completely general. Namely, that one life is always saying to every situation, I am life, truth and love. And as life, truth and love, I am the impelling factor for my mind. And therefore that life, truth and love will say to my mind, here is a new idea. This idea is a fact for you, and it is a fulfilled idea, whatever that idea is. I can take, so to say, any so-called ideas of of mine and see it as the outcome of an infinite impulsion of the one life that operates unspent everywhere and says always to me, you know, I am not just one life, I impel now a definite idea. I come to absolute Christian Science and says, I impel a definite idea because I am life, truth, and love expressing myself, and that idea comes to you first as mind, as a new idea, as a new idea, as a factual idea, as a complete idea. It comes to me and says, and I unfold this idea because I am spirit. Life, truth, and love says to me, I unfold that idea, whatever that idea is. May nothing have to do with the Bible and with Jesus' illustration. May nothing have to do with the baptism. It may just have to do with any old order, with any new development, with any new unfoldment, and says to me, you know, that which I have given you as a seed in mind, says life, truth, and love, that I unfold now. I am the impelling, unfolding order in you. You can't unfold what you have seen. I, life, truth, and love, unfold it. You jolly well can't see the form of this new idea, because life, truth, and love will impel it on you and say, this is the new form of this idea which is being born, and this is the new order which it is going to go. And love says to that order, and it's me who knows where it is leading you to. You don't need to know it. I, life, truth, and love, am spirit, I'm order, and I know where I'm going. You don't know it, and I just don't know it. I have the faintest idea what it's going the next 5 minutes, tomorrow, next year, in the next 10 years. I just don't know. But life, truth, and love has not only been a fact for Jesus, it has been a fact for me. It has been represented in Matthew as baptism. It is represented in every other situation as something else, but always spirit, whatever spirit then means. And so it is that life, truth, and love is my soul, my principle, my life, and so on. I have to hurry up now a bit, but you can see that in the Bible we see confirmation for revelation. Once I have seen confirmation for revelation, I lift it up into the synonymous terms. If I leave it in the biblical symbolism, it's limited for me. Why should I only see life, truth, and love impelling mind in the symbolism of Matthew? Why not in the symbolism of mind? And mind has an infinite idea. And so, with structure, I have a wider sense of how to think and how to ponder and how to be still. Can you see, and this is the modern education which begins to see it, that the old education tried to convey knowledge to the student. The new education is to show them structure. Religious education says, see what the Bible says, see what the textbook says, see this sentence and that illustration and ponder it. Yes, it's all right, I don't have anything against it. But then comes a time where it is too small. And everyone knows, and you do that, that for you the Bible is not the Bible, but is it symbolizing the structure of being. But the structure of being is never repeating itself in its illustration, and therefore we can enlarge on it in an infinite way.